very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. Comment lines are open 0870958968. WhatsApp us to that number if you want. You can also send us a text to 53995, or simply, you can quite simply call straight away if you want, 0917700077 from there. Now though, let me move on, because hoteliers in Galway are very concerned about turbulent times ahead for the sector due to uncertainty in overseas markets. And John Ryan joins me from the Ardilaun Hotel in Galway. John, good morning to you.
How are you?
Good, thanks for joining us today. Turbulent times, is that a little strong? Because the North American market seems to be very strong, John.
I suppose, Keith, what we're trying to just highlight is that, you know, after like 2022, which in all honesty has been a very, very good year in our business, we're trying to just highlight some of our concerns going forward at this moment. And yes, you're right. The sentiment out of the US is quite good. There's less concerns going there, but you know, there is concern in the US about their economic outlook. But our concerns are more looking at the British market, that it's looking to be quite weak going forward next year. Northern Ireland market is the same position in the European market, because they are really at the forefront of the cost increases, and there's looking like there might be a continental recession. So we're just raising their concerns. And you're very right about the US market has been a very strong year this year. The euro versus the dollar is just fantastic for the American market, and we are such supreme value for them now and seen as a very safe destination. But I suppose all our bags aren't in one market.
No.
Great Britain is a huge part of our market, and we have a lot of concerns there.
I was talking to somebody in aviation, so I was about 2 weeks ago from one of the major carriers going across the Atlantic, and they were saying that they're 70 to 75% sold for most of next year already inbound for Ireland, which they're absolutely thrilled with, but they're not getting the outbound. So the inbound should benefit, hopefully, you and your members.
Oh, absolutely. We're hoping, and we're doing a huge amount. Falls Ireland and Tourism Ireland are doing a huge amount of promotion there in the United States. And there are more carriers and loads going on. And we're confident enough about the North American markets, the other markets. And domestically, you have to say, and I think everybody realizes it in Ireland, I mean, look at the cost increases that every household is having here in the country. And our industry is really at the coalface of the energy increases and cost increases all over. So there's significant other concerns that we're trying to highlight as well, not just the tourism. So from the top line, we have concerns, but from the bottom up, from the cost increases that every household is experiencing in the country, from energy to food to linen costs. Even last week, you know, after a 30% increase in my linen costs up to date, the linen company gave me another 10% increase in our costs. So all those, and we're trying very hard, exceptionally hard, not to still provide value and feed that into, not pass those costs on. So from a cost base and from, you know, the pent-up demand we got in 2022, which was super, is going to slim down a bit. I mean, people are facing into uncertain times, and we're just trying to highlight our concerns, which is going to create difficulties for a lot of the smaller businesses in the industry that we're trying to say. You know, the government have been fantastic. They need have supported our industry superbly well through a very difficult time with the pandemic and this year as well. And we're just saying to the powers that be to please continue support us, because with that support we can help grow and develop and support the smaller industries. Because if you look at a 70-bedroom hotel, right, the cost of their energy bill is going to be about €360,000, you know, which has tripled since last year, you know. And I know the government are coming out with this subsidy, which is very, very welcome, but it's a little restrictive for smaller businesses that need that support. So we're just kind of highlighting some of our issues, saying to the government, please keep supporting us, because you've done a fantastic job now, and please continue to do that for us.
If you take what you're saying, though, and I know a lot of people in the hotel sector, and I've spoken to them in the last number of months in this regard, but if you're talking, John, about Your linen costs 30% went up by, plus another 10%. That's 40% of an increase. If you look at your hotel, I'm not saying you, but the energy costs, there were 4% in 2019. They're 12% now, so they are. So there you got. You cannot but pass that on, though. You cannot, because the margin is not in the hotel industry. And I know it very well from friends in it, including yourself. The margin is not there to absorb that 40% on linen and that 8% when it comes to energy costs. And I know you're talking about households and you're trying to spread the load there, but reality is that somewhere somebody is going to have to pay for this.
Absolutely, I know. As an industry, we're very efficient, I should say. And but our challenge and what we need to do is not, is still provide value for us and finds a way of not passing that on. I mean, we'd have to, without a doubt, absorb an awful lot of those costs because they're not passable on. You know, people, you cannot make your you have to still offer value for money. So people will come into your business, because if they're not coming into your business, you won't be paying any costs at all. So you're going to have to absorb. So the whole profitability of the industry is going to actually take a massive hit, which will have onward, you know, effects on, you know, development and growth and upgrading, all kinds of stuff. But our key focus would be not to pass all this on, because people won't pay it, and without our customers, we're nothing. So we have to find a way of absorbing it in some way.
Are you finding it very difficult now?
You know, we've come out of it 22 that has been very good. I can't deny that. I just, you know, think that it's a pity we couldn't get a year off without some sort of crisis. But it is, 23 is looking, when you see the size of the energy bills coming in now, you kind of go, wow. You know, it's just, it's unbelievably stark when they're hitting you. And a strong business like ours will continue to go on and thrive. But I would, Keith, I'd be honest with you, I would think smaller businesses are going to find it difficult. You know, they really are. But I'm, you know, I'm a naturally optimistic person. So I think we'll you know, go through this. We'll find this a way of getting through this, as a very resilient industry that the tourism industry is. We'll come through this and we'll come out this far side. But it's going to be, it is going to be a difficult 23, I think.
It is going to be a difficult, I think, in a lot of areas. I mean, I spoke to somebody yesterday and they're very worried about 2023, but they said, look, we have to get through it to get out the other side. But there is a concern, but there's a concern in households or otherwise. I mean, fuel costs have gone through the flipping roof altogether.
Kate, I can't even imagine. I mean, as I said, very robust business, but even you look at your energy bills that are coming in to your households now, you look at the food costs that people are, you know, and they've gone up at least 20%. Drink costs have gone up something like 16%. So the households are there. So they have to make a decision about where they're going to spend their money, because, and as us as an industry, we are totally dependent by and large, domestic disposable income. So, you know, that has to have a knock-on effect, you know.
All right, John, thank you for joining us. Keep the head high, and again, not easy for those in the industry. But John Ryan of the Ardilaun, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Ironically enough, so at home we were burning turf quite a bit, and we have an open fire, and it's something we have to do something about, because I had Michael Harty out to clean the chimney a few weeks ago for Christmas, and he said to me, you're Michael from Westside, he's my executive chimney cleaner and a wonderful man at it, I have to say. But he said to me, do you know, you're an awful idiot. And Michael's awful straight, and that's what I love about him. He's an awful idiot, he said. You've an open fire there, so you have in the dining room, kitchen area where we sit most of the time. And he said, sure, every bit of hot air that you bring into the house has gone up the chimney altogether. And then he said, you're putting turf in. But anyway, that aside, got it done. We have to address it in some way over the next couple of months. But I went out to I went out to collect two bags of kiln dry timber in Oranmore, out to the fuel centre, out to in Oranmore yesterday. I was passing and went into Pat, because if I'm passing, I'd pop into Pat, but I was passing yesterday. So I went in and I got two bags of his Killian dried timber just to start the fire so you can get the turf onto it and go from there. And I got two bags of coal. Now, it's the smoky coal and we're in the county, but I just find that that keeps the turf alive at night time. Just a few lumps of that keeps it going. But I look back, and the last time I bought two bags of the Killian dried timber and two bags of the coal from Pat, not his fault, fine gentleman that he is, cost €44. When I did it yesterday, and I just did whatever you do, paid with the card and away you go, was €76. So from 44 to 76. One then wonders, are you better off burning kerosene? It's, you know, just from 44 to 76. And that might last 2 weeks, if it would last 2 weeks. Now, along with turf and timber that I have, dry timber that I have at home. But it's a lot of money. It really is a lot of money, and it's a huge increase. 44 to 76. We're back and we're looking at the Martin Roundabout next. Stay tuned.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
Hey, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. I've been getting texts and emails and otherwise from Councillor Alan Cheevers about the Martin Roundabout at the Galway Clinic. And he joins me on the phone today. And I have Jerry Murphy, he's coming on motoring, but he's listening in the background, so he is to this. And Alan joins me on the line. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Now, you've been speaking about this quite extensively, so you have, and you've put down a motion for the next plenary session, the next meeting of Galway City Council. What is that motion, first off, can I ask you?
Well, I suppose the motion, Keith, really is that I've asked the Chief Executive of Galway City Council, Brendan McGrath, to do an urgent review on the transport strategy and how we're turning out transport projects. I think that if we look at the history over the last, let's say, a couple of years, I mean, there's been very little delivered in relation to Galway transport strategy, number one. But number two, we have seen two catastrophes in the Kermwin Junction and now the Martin Junction. There's been a lot of money spent by taxpayers. And, you know, the Kermwin Junction, in my view, and this is my view, and I think that if you were to speak to many of my elected colleagues, they would probably have the same view, it's been a disaster and it hasn't worked out. The Martin Junction, we were told that it would be delivered August of this year. The process started in March. Then we were told that it would finish possibly November, December. And the recent update now is that we've been told that it'll probably be February. But that's not concrete now. They're saying they're going to lay a paving in February. But my view and my own personal opinion is that we probably won't see this rolled out and finished till probably Easter at the least. And that's my view. I think really, it's really not acceptable, Keith. I think that I've said it to you before on the show, you know, we're missing deadline after deadline. We're getting all these excuses about supply chain issues. We're being told this, we're being told that. But the reality is, Keith, that junction at the moment is very, very unsafe. And I'm getting calls, I'm getting emails. I sent you a message there that I got from Dr. David Boucher-Hayes, who you know yourself, who works in the Galway Clinic. He knows what the feeling on the ground amongst the employees there. And the reality is that I spoke to the Director of Services on Monday evening, and I said to him that I had concerns in relation to this. And the answer I got was, and this is not an acceptable answer I got, was that I was looking for a paper headline. I wasn't looking for a paper headline. I was looking because to get a safer, access around that junction for people that are using it every day, be it residents in Dushka Raskan, be it commuters more and more, commuters from Athenry, people that come through it. And the reality is, Keith, we've had two accidents, even though minor accidents, in the last 3 weeks on that junction. And that's because it's not signed properly. The lighting is not great. And I was told by the Director of Services that the health and safety did a full audit and they were happy. But I'm not happy. And the general public are not happy. No, because they're coming back to me, even up to in the last few hours, telling me they're not happy.
Okay, but I mean, the situation is, I mean, you've been going on about the Kermwin junction here has been a disaster. I have to say, I don't find it a disaster. That's fine. The Martin Roundabout, I came through it on Monday. It was bumpy, so it was, coming through it on Monday night at about 7:30. It was bumpy-ish, so it was. But there, you can't bake a cake without cracking an egg. So perhaps indeed the director of services felt very strongly when he said, you know, you're just looking for a paper headline. You do like the paper headlines, so you do, and you do like the social media posts as well. So I wouldn't take offence to that. But just bear with me one second. Can I go to Gerry Murphy, who's sitting off to me today? Gerry, the Kirwan roundabout down here, is it a disaster?
It's not great. It's the biggest problem.
You sat there a few weeks ago and Brendan McGrath was on the programme with me and yeah. he outlined all, and you paid a lovely compliment to the council about the work in question. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that particular work I paid a compliment to him on. It was talking about the potential for the outer bypass.
Yeah.
And that I agree totally with him, and he made okay. a lot of good comments. The Kirwan roundabout is confusing. I always sort of look at a junction or a roundabout or an area of road, and I might be a competent driver, and I like to think so. But there are people who are not as competent, people who are nervous, people who are strangers. You know, it's not clear on the Kirwan roundabout for a complete outsider coming to Galway as to what they can do on it.
So you would concur then with...
I would concur with Alan to a degree. My always look at roundabouts versus junctions, and to me there's one word in a sentence that describes both of them. A roundabout is there to enhance the flow of traffic, and traffic lights are there to control the flow of traffic. Mm. Now, there's a subtle difference in the statement, but that's the way it is. And when Brendan was on, I did compare any traffic situation the same as plumbing. Mm. That if you fill it quicker than you're emptying it, you're going to have an overflow. Mm. And that's what happens. Now, the Kirwan roundabout takes in an awful lot of roads into it, but it is confusing, I'd have to say. The first time I used it, now I can use it now quite easily because I'm used to it and I know exactly where I'm going. But if you're not that confident, or you're a learner driver and you're coming into the Kirwan roundabout, or you're a little bit sort of nervous of driving, or you're a complete stranger, well, you're not going to get through that Kirwan roundabout without a little flutter of okay. anxiety.
Alan Cheevers, what's your response? Gerry agrees with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I think I would challenge you, Keith, to put a poll up on the radio show there today and ask the general public what they think of both junctions, and I think you get your answer very, very quick. And no, I think it'd be unanimous and negative.
I know, you know, I don't.
Gerry's right. Listen, the reality is, let's be honest about it. There was millions of euros spent in that junction. And it's an obstacle course, that Kirwan junction. No more than the Martin junction. People come back to me on a regular basis and come to my colleagues, especially the ones on the central ward who are in that constituency. And they say that the Kirwan junction, they don't feel safe. And that's the reality. So let's be honest about this. It hasn't worked. And I have my reservations that the one in the Martin Junction is going to work either. The only positive thing, Keith, about this development out in the Martin Junction is the footpaths that went in from the two junctions, from the Roscommon and Dwishka to the clinic.
Okay. Gerry, you want to come in there?
Yeah, the Martin roundabout to me is... its difficulty is the fact that it's been constructed. And every time... Well, every couple of weeks you drive into it, the rules have changed. And that's what creates confusion. But I think that Martin roundabout, when it becomes a lighted junction, may work very, very well. Because simply it's a T-cross. You're coming off the main, coming down from Ballybrit down towards the junction, and you have the Ardmore bypass into town. Problem with it is if... lights ahead of it are not coordinated, and there is one particular set of lights that are on demand at the Galway Crystal outlet. Every time somebody comes to that junction, the lights change automatically and give them exit. If the lights all the way down to Rinmore Park, to where Duggan's is and further down, aren't coordinated with the lights back at the Martin Junction, you're going to have problems.
Mm. I seem to have lost Alan Cheevers there. What you see, can we get on with the phone there? Is His link to us just dropped from there. I mean, the situation, though, is, I mean, it's such a major investment that it has to work, Jerry.
Yes, it has to work. I mean, and it has to be tweaked and looked at on a regular basis to see what times of the day it works better at certain speeds of change, what times of the day you don't need to change as often. This is one thing that, you know, we really have to look at in Galway, as the flow of traffic should determine how quick lights change and how quick they don't change, or how slow they change.
Mm. I'm going to go back to the telephone line. I should have Alan Cheevers on line one today. Constance Cheevers, I don't know what happened, but I lost you for a moment there. Can you hear me all right there? Can you hear me? Heard him in the background. I'm going to try him just on WhatsApp, John, one more time, if you don't mind. Just bear with me 1 second. Is he going to get him up here again on this one? Again, the it is a work in progress. Alan, are you with me now?
Yeah, I'm with you now. Sorry, Paul came in and cut off the WhatsApp. Sorry about that.
Modern day technologies. Will you not be ringing Councillor Cheevers now, please? Just for 1 second. Can I read out the text which I've got from a, you mentioned a consultant. I'm not going to name him again. He said, I'm afraid, Alan, but penalties must be discussed. And why did they need to change it in the first place? Also, it's tough enough to find your way out of a hospital if you've received a challenging news, as you know. Imagine having to negotiate the Mario Kart style maze or type maze if you're distracted by a diagnosis of heart failure or cancer, etc. It's absolutely dangerous. Now, that coming from a consultant is a very strong statement.
Absolutely, Keith. And listen, regarding the penalties, I'm delighted you brought that up, because that question was asked at the last council meeting in relation, is there a penalty clause on this contract with this contractor? And the answer is there isn't. And the reason why we were told that there isn't is because, you know, with the Ukraine war didn't happen when the contract was given. Obviously, it's challenging for supply chain issues, etc. And then when we asked, was it going to go over budget? We weren't given a clear answer on that, but more or less reading between the lines, we were basically told it would go over budget. Now, the budget at the moment is 5 million, Keith. And my own personal point of view is that we're probably going to see this whole project probably well exceed 5 million, possibly going to 6 and maybe more. Because, as I said, we don't really have a definitive date when it's going to finish. And, you know, the reality is what I'm saying today, Keith, is why this construction is going on. I want Galway City Council to work harder to make that safe, that junction safer for commuters and for residents, because it's not safe. They can talk about health and safety audits and they're happy enough with that. I'm not happy. The reality is we've had 2 accidents in 3 weeks. They might be minor, but we don't know when we're going to get a major one. And I suppose Dr. David Boucher has said to you there, and in the text message you read out, he's given you his angle in relation to staff and to people that are using the hospital. So listen, let's get this sorted. Let's make it safer for the people that are accident.
Can I put it to you though, Councillor Cheevers, because I ain't no engineer, you're not an engineer. Jerry seems to be happy that this is going to work when it's done. Should we just breathe and let them get through with this and try and get it done as quickly as possible?
Well, Keith, we've no choice now. I mean, we've missed 2 deadlines. We have to. We're at the mercy of the contractor now and the council to make sure the contractor does the job. So we've no choice but to wait. But what I'm saying is we need to make the junction safer while this construction is going on. That's a vital thing for people's health and safety. And that's what I'm asking for today.
All right. Well, we'll see what paper headline you get on this one today, so we will. Jerry, just before I let Alan go and you go as well, as you know, I have to come in out the Headford Road quite a bit, and I am confused on the Headford Road, I have to say. I come in from Coral Haven, so I will go out, and I get it's my confusion, but if I want to come to Lisbon, which is here, Lisbon Estate here, I have to get into one lane, but if I want to turn right and go home over the bridge in another lane, and if I'm daydreaming, and it's my fault if I'm daydreaming.
Yeah, as we all do.
More often than not, I get into the wrong lane. So you're right, and Alan's right about...
Well, if you're a complete stranger and never saw the junction before, and somebody says you're on air on Galway Bay FM at 10 o'clock, and at 9:45 you arrive there, or 9:50 you arrive there, coming in from the Hetford Road, you might not make it.
And we'd be cross. Jerry Murphy stays with me, and I have to do this and this and...
The Motoring Slot, in association with Colm Quinn BMW Select. The ultimate finance at Colm Quinn. Whatever BMW model you choose, BMW Select has tailored finance available that is just as impressive as your new car. Contact Colm Quinn BMW on 091 753 888.
Now, Colm Quinn would be delighted with you, so you would. You're driving the BMW i4. It's a magnificent looking vehicle, Jerry.
Yeah, based on the BMW 4 Series, this is the all-electric version, the i4. E-Drive 40, it's called. It has M-Sport specification in it. And I'm going to have to say that a lot of times electric cars leave me kind of cold because they're difficult to get any sort of feedback from them. They're just driving along. Mm. And from a driver's point of view, it's not always easy to get that old driving feeling off it. This one is different. This is probably, I would say, the best so far electric vehicle that I have driven.
Wow, that's a big statement.
Just simply because of my style, what I like. I like the shape of the 4 Series anyway. It's my favourite shape of the BMW catalogue. This one is the same. Now, sitting out there is 63,500. Now, when you compare it to other cars, that's not a bad price at all. It's got an 83.9, let's say 84 kilowatt hour battery in it. And working off the rear wheels, as most good BMWs do, road tax at 120. They claim a range of 590. It is doing sort of something just over 400. Now, that's based, again, on the person that had the car before me, and as the car recalculates itself. But on a point-to-point situation, if you're driving 50 kilometres, that amount of range does not go down by 50 kilometres if you drive it sensibly. It has three modes: Sport, Comfort, and Eco Pro. Eco Pro is similar to the discussion we had 2 weeks ago about a car, yeah, where you're using just the accelerator, and when you lift the accelerator, the car slows down. It reads the roads around it. It'll tell you when you're coming up to a roundabout. It'll slow and stop at that roundabout without you even pressing the brake. But the brake is always there in case of an emergency. I have to say, inside there's four people. That's what you're looking at. It's a coupe shape, but you get an absolute feedback from the road. I've had other electric BMWs, which I wouldn't even put in the same bracket as this, as far as this is a proper BMW drive in an electric car. That's wow. The biggest compliment I can pay to.
So 63,500. Can I ask you, just before we move on to the next item on this one, so if you're coming down, say, on Monday from Dublin in this, and it's a cold day, and you have the heating on, and you have the windscreen wipers on, does it then chew up more power?
Yeah, well, it will if you're out on the motorway doing 120 kilometres per hour. But what I did last Monday is I took the old road home. So I got off the motorway at the Trim Junction, went into Enfield, and just into Enfield, down to Kinnegad.
Because you were in no rush home.
Because I was in no rush home. And the speed limits there are 80 until you get to, I think, Turtles Pass, and then they go to 100. And you go into Athlone. I popped off at Athlone and went home via Mount Bellew. And it was 496 kilometres on the clock when I was leaving Dublin and when I got to Tuam, which is 220-odd kilometres. That way, I think there was something like 285 or something on it. So
and it should have been 276.
Exactly. So it was working by how I was driving it. And I didn't need to recharge it. I actually came into Galway on Monday night from Tuam, both ways. I was sitting to do my programme over the line on Monday night. And I only plugged it in yesterday at lunchtime.
Okay, and
when I plugged it in yesterday at lunchtime, there was 165 or something on it.
Left on it,
so.
And, I mean, the headlights then at nighttime driving will burn up more power?
Everything electric in the car will use more power. But if you use it smartly, like when you put it into Eco Pro as a driving mode, it tones down all of the various parts of the car, like air conditioning and everything for you. But to me, it works. And I love the fact that I can feel the car under my butt when I'm driving it or not.
It's the old rally heading you, isn't it? Diesel and petrol prices versus electric cars is something that we have on the agenda.
Yeah, it's just something that people should be aware of now. We all heard that the ESB were putting up the prices by 50%. It's now to get into a fast power charge. It's 46 cent per kilowatt hour. That's why, you know, an 84 kilowatt hour battery will tell you how much you require to charge it. Now,
so is that 84 by 46?
It would cost you 84 by 46 to charge from 0 to 100% of the car that I have. Now, I see coming in today, diesel prices are now at 182, which is nearly a 20 cent drop in about 4 weeks for the price of diesel. So that is... that is 10%, basically. And the fact that that's happening and the fact that electricity prices are going up at the chargers by 50%, it just squeezes the gap between the two. Now, we also know that at home, electricity charges are going up at home. Now, okay, there is the three rebates that the government are promising us, but once that goes away, just the gap is getting smaller, and people should be aware of that. I mean, electric is still cheaper to run, don't get me wrong, but the difference between diesel and electric is now getting narrower.
It is. I'm sorry, just a quick calculation. Pudsey Ryan from primary school would have cost you $38.46 to charge it fully.
Yeah.
So how much would the equivalent of diesel?
Well, you'd be putting 60, 70 euro, more even, 80 euro into it. But how many more mileage would you get out of the diesel with a full tank of 70 litres of diesel, for example? How many more miles? You get over 1,000 kilometres out of that, whereas you'd only get less than half it out of the electric. So the calculations are a little bit complicated. Now, you still have to say that the electric is cheaper, but then the price point that you buy your electric vehicle at is also higher than you'd buy a diesel.
So then if I do my Pudsey Ryan again, you're talking about to get the 1,000 kilometres, you're done with 76.92 as against 70 euro.
Not far away from both of them. Mm. Both not far away from each other now.
I think I'd have to leave it at this, but I think my concern would be not having enough time to charge it, because I always seem to be on the tether of even getting petrol or diesel or otherwise.
But you know, funny, it's almost therapeutic that you would have to stop. This sounds silly.
You have time to
silly,
do it, Jerry.
Yeah, silly coming from me. But actually, in the middle of a journey, if you do stop and plug it in, and you have no choice but to sit back, go for a cup of coffee, or just sit in the car and listen to the radio. But it's funny that it is therapeutic that you stop doing what you're doing.
I don't know, do I?
Just for... Now, by the way, if you spend now more than 45 minutes charging your car at a charge point, you walk away with, say, you come back in 50 minutes, you're going to have an 8 euro charge on top of your car for staying over your welcome time.
Good luck now on that one. I'll tell you, implementing that one, Jerry Murphy. Again, the BMW i4, pop into Colm Quinn. Have a look at it from there. And thanks for joining us today on all topics, Jerry.
The Motoring Slot, in association with Colm Quinn BMW Select. The ultimate finance at Colm Quinn. Whatever BMW model you choose, BMW Select has tailored finance available that is just as impressive as your new car. Contact Colm Quinn BMW on 091 753 888.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
A very good morning to you. Patricia Hine joins us from Employment Services. Patricia, good morning to you.
Very good morning to you, Keith.
What have you got for us today?
Okay, lots of jobs on offer this morning, Keith, and we'll start off. The first position we have is for a security retail officer for a company in Ballinasloe. Now, applicants should have a current PSA license, fluent English, and an ability to work with CCTV TV systems. Next up this morning, Keith, we have a position for a trainee flooring fitter with the company Nor More. Applicants should have good DIY and practical skills and a driver's license. Now, we're also looking for applications for control room operatives for an Garda Síochána, who are looking to recruit people to work within their call centre operations located in Cork, Dublin, Galway and Waterford. And staff in these centres respond to emergency 999 and 112 calls. The closing date for applications is tomorrow, Thursday, the 1st of December. Also this morning, Keith, we are looking for an employment guidance officer, a caseworker part-time for a local employment partnership company in Connemara. This particular company provide a range of services to support unemployed people back into employment or into further education and training. And applicants should have experience or a qualification in the area of adult development, have fluency in the Irish language, and have owned transport and a full driver's licence. And this is a part-time position and based in the Connemara area. Now back to the city, where we're looking for a customer sales advisor for a motor depot here in the city. Duties for this job will include answering the telephones, dealing with customer requests and bookings, organising schedules, and agreeing on the pricing of jobs with customers. Applicants should have excellent communication skills. Now also this morning, we're looking for a number of early childhood education teachers for Galway. Applicants should have a degree in early childhood education or primary education and experience in childcare. Staying in the city this morning, where we're looking for a mould fitter, applicants should have a minimum of 5 years experience in injection mould making of complex multi-cavity moulds. And this is a permanent, full-time position, and the hours of work are 39 hours a week. We're also looking for a service delivery manager for a company based in Galway. It's for a money advice and budgeting service. Now, this role will include development of services, including personnel and quality management, and applicants should have experience in money advice, budgeting and debt management. And also applicants should have a strong quality management and customer focus. Now, as always, Keith, further details and indeed application for all our jobs this morning can be accessed by logging on to jobsireland.ie, or indeed for any employers or companies out there who are currently recruiting. Please do make contact with us and we can certainly support the recruitment of your vacancies at no cost. Again, Keith, you'll find us on jobsireland.ie.
Patricia, thank you so much and have a good and a safe week, which is most important. And thank you for joining us today on the programme. Further details can be had by going to jobsireland.ie for further details on that. Now, though, what bit of Christmas music would you like to hear? You can email us comments@galwaybayfm.ie, but one listener asked us to play this piece of music.
Galway Bay FM with your local Mace, making your Christmas extra special with festive offers.
That's Ella Jones and Walking in the Air as we head towards the 11 o'clock news. If you want your bit of music played on this programme between now and Christmas, all you have to do is call us 091-77-0077 and you nominate that piece of music.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.